Hello and a very warm welcome to the world outside. I'm Maha Siddiqui. Bangladesh is celebrating 50 years of its liberation. In its fight for liberation, India played a vital role, and Bangladesh is recalling and recognizing India's contribution in that direction. I have with me a special guest from across the border today, Lieutenant Colonel Sajjad Ali Zaheer. He fought the 1971 war and will also be receiving the Padma Shri from India this year. Many thanks, Lieutenant Colonel Zaheer, for speaking with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me to talk in this occasion. I'm very gratified. Thank you.
Sir, first of all, take us back in time for those who may not remember clearly the days and the months that led to the liberation war. How is India remembered in Bangladesh for its contribution?
You're right that about 50 years have passed. Sharpest moments in people's mind may have started to fade already. A new generation of Bangladeshis have come who haven't seen the 1971. 71 was a glorious period, but also a very tragic period. But in that period, the people of Bangladesh and India penned the bond of friendship. And that penning of the bond of friendship should actually go down to generation in our both countries. Also, after 71, many things happened in our two countries. In Bangladesh, especially after the assassination of Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, father of the nation, his family members, national leaders, and taking over power by the military governments, anti-liberation forces, and many other happenings, history almost took a backseat. Ballad of the Sacrifice of the Mukti Bahini and Indian forces was not discussed much. That's a tragedy. But then, without a shared past, we cannot have a shared future. That is history. After 26 years of misrule and military rule together, Honorable Sheikh Hasina has come to power, daughter of the Sheikh, and she started going through the pages of history and tried to get history to the right track. We should pin down the contribution of Indian people, especially in the border areas, who have sacrificed so much, 8,99,305 refugees were in the border areas, staying in 826 refugee camps. They were fed, they were helped, treated by the Indian government with the active participation of the border people. That was remarkable. Indian Armed Forces trained our Mukti Bahini, because we are very few trained officers and soldiers from Pakistan Army who joined the Liberation War. They also gave us arms and ammunition and advices, which was so essential for us to launch a people's war or a guerrilla warfare against Pakistan Army. Also, after 21st of November, when Indian Army and Bangladesh forces together from the Allied forces, we are prepared to face the onslaught of Pakistan Army. On the 3rd of December 1971, when 60 Pakistani aircraft took off from Peshawar base, air base, attacked 10 big airfields of India with a plan to destroy majority of the Indian aircrafts, which they failed, of course. This is Indira Gandhi, the Honorable Prime Minister of India, declared war. And then Mukti Bahini and the Indian forces have moved together into Bangladesh totally. And within 13 days, the victory was achieved. Pakistan is surrendered without, you know, giving in their best, actually, this is how I feel. Even in Dhaka, they have 26,756 soldiers. They didn't fight a single bullet. That's the tragedy, because they lost the morale to fight. Initially, they fought But then the character, the leadership, everything collapsed. And further, an army which is involved in raping women, killing unarmed people, and conducting genocide loses its soldierly powers, soldierly training, and soldierly motivation. Only option for them was left to surrender disgracefully. That's important. After that, what we have achieved is a victory from Zalim and Zulum. That's very important.
On the National Day, sir, we saw a message from Pakistan Prime Minister Imran Khan as well. You know, when 50 years down the line, a message of that nature comes on a day when you're also remembering the atrocities that you are just mentioning that the people of Bangladesh had to go through at that time, East Pakistan. How do these diplomatic moves really sit with the people, and especially a veteran like you who has seen that period and fought that war?
I agree with you that I have also read the message, but I don't think it had any appeal to any section of the population. It's, as you say, it's a diplomatic message. It's just a courtesy. One country gives to another country. We're an independent country. But the buck should stop there, actually. That's what I believe in. Actually, Pakistanis have not regretted. They have not punished. They have not admitted their war guilt. They have not admitted conducting genocide. They have committed in Shimla conference and Delhi conference that they will try the war criminals. They didn't do it. So many issues remain unsettled. They should look after those issues, they then send the messages actually. And also I would like to point out here one thing, that Bangladesh is a respectable country. It wants to honor the people who helped Bangladesh in 1971 and make it a part of history. Bangladesh has honored 317 foreign friends all over the world for their assistance to Bangladesh during 1971 Liberation War. Among them, 217 were from India. And fortunately, I was in charge of writing the citation, conducting research, and documenting them along with the committee members. Next thing, on my request, Honorable Sheikh Hasina was gracious enough and agreed to give an order that every Indian martyred soldier of 1971 must be honored. And I was put in charge of this event. And we have already held two events, one in Calcutta, one in Delhi. In that, we have started honoring the martyred soldiers of Indian Army. This has created a very good environment. Bangladesh again proves it's a grateful nation. The Indian soldiers who have fought so hard and sacrificed their lives, they should be honored. I always say and still say that the blood of Indian soldiers, the thousands of them, were flowing, still flowing, and will flow through Padda, Meghna, Jamuna, and Tista, and fertile the lands of Bangladesh, and make the friendship between our two countries better and better every day. We should not become anti-history. We should follow the path of history. Pakistan has always followed the path of anti-history. And that's the reason the bigger part of Pakistan have seceded from the main Pakistan. That is their tragedy. But now you see, economically, politically, socially, Bangladesh is much ahead of India. Recently, in the Pakistan parliament, one parliament leader asked their honorable prime minister, Mr. Prime Minister, try to make our country like Switzerland. And another leader stood up and said, no, first, please try to make us like Bangladesh. That is the development Bangladesh is making, and you are aware of it from your all visits to Bangladesh.
So let me come back to the question of India and the role that it played in 1971. How important is this legacy for building a future from here on between these two sides, even when we have seen certain ups and downs in the relationship, or friction, if I can put it that way, that we witnessed in 2019 over the issues of NRC Assam and Citizenship Amendment Act? Do you think an emotional connect can help overcome this sort of friction that crops up in any relationship?
Yes, I definitely agree. In general, there are three types of diplomacies. One is the state-to-state diplomacy for the foreign ministries. One is the track two diplomacy. That's the first track one diplomacy. Track two diplomacy is organization to organization, think tank to think tank, groups of people to groups of people in different sectors, trade, commerce, history, and research and documentation education. Finally, track three diplomacy is people-to-people contact. We have to get more of the people-to-people contact, which we are trying to do now. We have much more visits between the two countries. Number two, we have opened up both the countries' border huts, the marketing place in the border where people can come, meet each other, sell their products, they develop, they earn some money and meet their family members. Those things are already happening. And also Bangladesh have also tried very hard to contain the terrorism in the border areas. The Indian insurgents who took shelter during the military government's time and the anti-democratic government's time inside Bangladesh, and they had training camps there. It is alleged that Pakistan also held these training camps. When Honorable Sheikh Hasina came to power, she closed down all the training camps by force, arrested those people, put them to jail, and many of them, we hear, that have been handed over to India. So terrorism in the border areas inside India has reduced greatly. Sheikh Hasina has taken that great risk also to do this war. And also, we are engaging with India with trade and commerce, with communication everywhere. And the a bit of things which are happening, those are political thoughts. We feel they are temporary thoughts. Those will go away. What we have to concentrate more is that the friendship should go down from generation to generation. Our generation knows each other very well, but our next generation do not seem to understand and know about the 71 in detail in both our countries. Indian new citizens, the new emerging population, the youth, many of them think 71 war was just like another Indo-Pak war in 65, Chinese war in 62, 48 war, Kashmir war, Kargil war, like that. No, no, it was not. India did not capture any country. They liberated one country. That's what people know. The bondage of blood should be understood. And also, our country also, for a long time, history took a backseat, and our new generation didn't know about the sacrifices and the goodwill and the love and affection Indians had given us in 71. This should be also taught about it, told about it. So legacy of blood should flow positively in between our two countries, and then the friendship should emerge. You cannot change your neighbors. You can even change your relatives, but cannot change your neighbors. We have to live side by side. Now, with more cooperation, more love and affection we live, better it is for our two countries. That is very important.
So 50 years down the line, how has Bangladesh changed? How would you say the youth in Bangladesh now is different from what it was when you all were young?
In our time, we used to go to school walking 4 or 5 kilometers. Now things have changed. Our new generation have got more facilities. We used to study with the light of a hurricane. We had no electricity. But now Bangladesh is digitalized. Our youth are very smart, intelligent, very well educated. They travel everywhere in the world. They get educated in Bangladesh and go to many countries. And our digitalization is very fast. Technology is getting firmer with a bigger base and a very stronger base. So I feel our new generation is doing very well, and they will keep doing very well. It's a very young country, actually. And the more we can educate our youth and the young people in the line of technology, in the line of finance, in the line of business administration, better it is. We have a new breed of bureaucrats who are now coming to the jobs. They are very bright by competitive exams. As you may have seen some of them during your visits to Dhaka, the Foreign Affairs Committees, other government committees who had met you. and our defense forces are doing very well. Bangladesh is the largest peacekeeping contributor, largest peacekeeping force in the whole world, actually. They have earned fame, they have earned honor, and they have earned that respect from the international community. We are doing very well. And economically, we are the second largest garment manufacturing country in the world, one of the largest in the fish producing country. We earn a lot of foreign exchange by our hardworking laborers working in many countries in the world, including Middle East. So we have a very large financial reserve in our central bank. Economically, the country is doing very well, and the infrastructures are going up. So country is developing, but like all other countries, we have our own problems of social problems and some economic problems. Those we have to slowly get rid of within course of time. It's a very positive indicator.
All right. So coming back to India-Bangladesh relations, recently after Prime Minister Narendra Modi's visit for the National Day, while he was there, there were reports of some violence that was taking place in protest against his visit. And even now there are reports of continued clashes. As some of them, I understand, are also opposition called strikes against the Sheikh Hasina government. Some also protesting against what they call a clampdown on dissent in the country. But all in all, what is the situation like, and would you want to help us understand why did we see this protest against Prime Minister Modi?
As you correctly said before, there are some statements of leaders about Assam and all that had some irritations, of course. And of course, some messages come from India, although I'm not a political leader, nor I'm involved with the government at all. I'm just a private citizen. I just do my work in research and documentation, reading and teaching, that's all. So a lot of messages come from your country also, which irritates people at times, number one. Number two is that there is no clampdown, actually. That's the reason they could demonstrate so much. And they can demonstrate, and only government takes protection when they are vandalizing and when they are destroying public property. Then they have to protect the citizens' property and citizens' life, that's the thing. Otherwise, everybody has a right to protest and gather and give lectures. That's what's happening, of course. So this is a very sad thing what has happened, definitely. We didn't want this thing to happen now. But then in every country, there are some groups which take advantage of the situation. So when the 50th year of celebration comes, everybody is celebrating, foreign leaders are coming. Five head of the states came at one time, one group by group, you know, within 10 days they came. So people are in a jovial mood. At that time, some political leaders and some religious leaders decided to take on to the street. But I'm sure things will be taken care of, and people will go back to their own normal jobs, because these ideas based on which they demonstrate and protest, of course they have a democratic right to do that, and still they can do that, they will keep on doing it. They will understand that it doesn't help the country and the society and their next generation also. So it's the understanding of the people which is very important. The people who say that they are being clamped down and subjugated is not correct, because they are demonstrating every day, and then once they start attacking and burning and creating riot type situation, then the law and order persons, they have to take some protective measures that's applicable for all in the world. Of course, there are possibilities of some mistakes from both sides. In a democratic society, ultimately there should be dialogue and discussion, and people should understand each other, because we belong to the same country, and peacefully we should all try to settle all the ideas and issues that we have in our mind. But democratic societies, such things do happen and will keep on happening. But it's very sad that it happened during the visits of the our friendly countries leaders. That was not warranted, and that was not called for, actually. Thank you.
Many thanks, Lieutenant Colonel Zaheer, for speaking with us on this podcast. That's it then this week. We'll be back next week with another edition of The World Outside.